one place in America where you can come and won't have to sit on the hot seat. Clothes stay cool, don't they? It's one of those places, once you find a seat, you want to stay there. You don't want anybody moving you. You don't want to have to warm up another seat. But these, it's one thing about these seats here, they'll stay cool. Amen. The other thing, we got the heat in the tops. So we keep your head warm. And your feet may freeze, but at least your head will stay warm. I do say, though, if you keep your head warm, the rest of you will stay warm. And I don't know if that's true or not, but at least we're working on it here. We're going to prove science right here, I guess. Keep the heat in the top. Okay, Psalms chapter 8. We've been studying through the books of the Bible, and we're up to now the book of Psalms. Wait just a minute till we get everything passed out here. Chapter 8, you follow along with me as I read Psalms chapter 8 and verse 1. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Who hast set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength. Because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens and the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea. And whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, once again, we do thank you for being our Heavenly Father, for your goodness to us, and for the Word of God that we can study and we can know, that comforts us and exhorts us, helps us to draw closer to you, and helps us to keep going. I pray you'll bless now today as we study this book of Psalms, and bless our time, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We've studied the books of the Bible, beginning with Genesis. We've studied the 17 historical books. Now we begin the second section in the book. The first section of the book is 17 books of what kind of books? The first section is the book of history, right? Historical books. Now we began last week the second group in the book, in the Bible, in the Old Testament, which is the poetical books. And this is a second of the poetical books. We studied last week the book of Job. And what is the theme of the book of Job? Suffering. Well, yeah, key word in the book of Job is suffering. And so we studied the suffering in the book of Job, and also the patience. Well, how we ought to live with patience, the theme of the book of Job. Now in the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms is the longest book in the Bible. The book of Psalms has 150 chapters in the book. Matter of fact, Psalms has the longest chapter in the Bible also. That is Psalms chapter 119. By the way, the longest chapter in the Bible, almost every verse of that chapter talks about the Bible. So Psalms 119 is a chapter concerning the Bible, and almost every verse in that chapter talks about the Word of God. The Psalms are written primarily by David. If you look through the Psalms, as a matter of fact, in Psalms chapter 8, the one we just read, it says, to the chief musician upon Gittith, a psalm of David. In Psalm 9, it says, a psalm of David. As you read through the Psalms, you'll find out that in the introduction to the Psalms, that 73 of them are ascribed to David. So David primarily is the author of the book of Psalms. He's written at least 73 of them that have been ascribed to him, and probably many more of them that have not been ascribed to him. So David is the primary author of it. 73 have been said they are Psalms of David. Look in Acts chapter 4, verse 25. Hold your finger in Psalms there. Look over in Acts chapter 4 and verse 25. Probably many of the other Psalms are David's Psalms also. For instance, in Acts chapter 4, verse 25, Bible says, who by the mouth of thy servant David hast said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? So in Acts chapter 4, verse 25, the Bible says that David wrote these words, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? Now look back in the book of Psalms in chapter 2. Psalms chapter 2 and verse 1. Notice this, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Now, this is not one of the psalms that is ascribed to David, but we know that David wrote it because the Acts chapter 4, verse 25 says David wrote it. Young people, I want you to sit up straight. All of our young people, listen carefully. We're glad to have everybody here this morning, but you're here to hear the Word of God. That's the whole reason we're here. So you sit up straight, follow along with us on those sheets there, and listen to us. Don't fold them up. Just look at them. Look at them, okay? They're not for airplanes. They're to study along with us, all right? God bless you. And some of our young people are big in stature, but little in mind. And we have to kind of teach them some things here. Now, these papers are to look at and to read. There's words on there. And most of our kids don't know how to read, but we put words on there anyway. And in the public school system today, God bless anybody who learned how to read that thing, I'll tell you for sure. But so these are for you to study with. Go along with us, okay? And we're glad for all the young people that are here, but you read along with us here. Psalms chapter 2. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine of anything? This is not one of the psalms that are ascribed to David, but it's one of the psalms that David wrote, as we see in Acts chapter 4, verse 25. Look also in 1 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 7. 1 Chronicles 16, 7. Young people, if you can't hold on to those papers, just put them down, okay? All right. God bless you. Boy, that's good. That's good. I think we've accomplished something. 1 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 7, if you would. 1 Chronicles 16, verse 7. Then on that day David delivered first his psalm to thank the Lord unto the land of Asaph and his brethren. So in 1 Chronicles 16, verse 7, we see there's another psalm of David. He says, give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, and make known his deeds among the people. If you read verses 7 through 22 and compare that with Psalms 105, you'll see that's also a psalm of David. Or in verse 23, it goes on to say, sing unto the Lord, all the earth, show forth from day to day his salvation, declare his glory among the heathen, his marvelous works among all nations. If you compare that with Psalm 96, you see also that's another psalm of David. So David wrote at least 73 of these psalms, of course, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. 73 of them are ascribed to him, but there are many others that he wrote that not necessarily have his name put upon those psalms. There are several other authors. For instance, look in Psalms chapter 83. Psalms 83. In Psalms 83, notice the inscription on that psalm. It says, a song or psalm of Asaph. So another one of the authors of the book is Asaph. Asaph was one of the men that was he was the music director for David, and he was one of the leaders for the stringed instruments and the temple and the music in the temple. So Asaph wrote many of these psalms. Also, look in Psalms chapter 87. And it says a psalm or song for the sons of Korah. The descendants of Korah are also the authors of many of these psalms. So we see David is an author. So also Asaph is the author of many of the psalms. We see the descendants of Korah, the sons of Korah, are the authors of some of the psalms. Look also in Psalms 89. Psalms 89 says, Mashal of Ethan, the Ezrahite. So we see also Ethan wrote at least one psalm. He wrote Psalm 89. Then in Psalms 90, show you another one of the authors. Psalms 90, it says, a prayer of Moses, the man of God. And even Moses wrote at least one of the psalms, Psalms chapter 90. And there are some psalms that are ascribed to Solomon, some that are ascribed to a man by the name of Heman. And so there are other authors of the book, but the main author is who? David is main author. We also have other authors, such as Asaph and the sons of Korah, Ethan and Moses, but primarily they're written by David. As a matter of fact, look at 2 Samuel chapter 23. 2 Samuel chapter 23. In 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 1, it says, now these be the last words of David. David the son of Jesse said, and the man who was raised up on high, the anointed of God of Jacob, and the sweet psalmist of Israel. So David was actually called the sweet psalmist of Israel. So we see that the longest book in the Bible is the book of Psalms. Psalms is the second of the poetical books. And, of course, it's written in Hebrew poetry. When we think of poetry, we think of something that is a parallelism of rhyme or of rhythm. But in the Hebrew poetry, it is a parallelism of ideas. We see many couplets or parallels in the poetical books. Psalms also has the longest chapter of the Bible, and that is Psalms chapter 119, which talks about the Word of God. We see the primary author of the book of Psalms is a man by the name of David. David wrote at least 73 of the Psalms and probably many more of those Psalms. There are at least 100 Psalms that have been given names to them, and there are about 50 names, Psalms that are called orphan Psalms, or basically anonymous Psalms, not necessarily knowing who the author is other than God. But many of those anonymous Psalms were written by David also. And then we see some other authors of the book. Asaph, Korah, sons of Korah, Ethan, and Moses, among others that have written Psalms that are in this collection of Psalms found in the Word of God. Look in Psalms chapter 95. Let me go give you one of the key words found in the Psalms. Psalms chapter 95. This basically gives the purpose or what these Psalms were used for. In Psalms chapter 95, verse 1, notice these words. O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. That verse right there includes everybody. There are some that can sing, and there are some that just can make a joyful noise. Amen? And I'm one of the joyful noisers, and I thank God for those that are the singers. So it includes all of us can sing, whether we can sing or not. We can at least make a joyful noise. And I'm glad for that verse right there, because I can make a joyful noise right along with those that can sing. Amen? And so it says, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Of course, it says that in Psalms 100, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. In Psalm chapter 96, it says, O sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord, all the earth. Sing unto the Lord. Bless his name. Psalms chapter 98, it says, O sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory. Psalms chapter 101 says, I will sing of mercy and judgment unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. And so as we look through the Psalms, one of the words that we sing, see over and over, one of the words we can sing also, and that we see over and over, is the word sing. One of the key words in the Psalms is the word sing. The other key word in the Psalms is the word praise. So we see sing and we see praise. Two of the key words. Matter of fact, the Hebrew name for Psalms actually is the word that means praises. The Hebrew name for Psalms means praises. So Psalms is a book of praises, or it's actually a book of songs. A psalm is a song. So as we go through the book of Psalms, we can actually see that many of these were things that were sung by the children of Israel. Matter of fact, we could actually call the Psalms the songbook of Israel. This is actually the songbook of Israel. Now Israel, of course, their major great school of music was the temple. Look in 1 Chronicles chapter 25. 1 Chronicles chapter 25. In 1 Chronicles chapter 25, verse 1, it says, Moreover, David and the captains of the host separated to the servant of the sons of Asaph and of Heman and of Jeduthun, who shall prophesy with harps, with psalteries, with cymbals, number of the workmen according to their service was. And it goes through and names, of course, the sons of Asaph, and names them. Down in verse 6, all these were under the hands of their father for song in the house of the Lord with cymbals, psalteries, and harps for the service of the house of God, according to the king's order to Asaph, Jeduthun, and Heman. So the number of them with their brethren that were instructed in the songs of the Lord, even all that were cunning, was 248. That's a pretty good choir right there, isn't it? So what we see then is that the Hebrews used the Psalms basically as their songbook. The Jews sang unto the Lord. They sang praises unto the Lord. Matter of fact, look back, and David was the one who primarily set this up. He was kind of the head of all the singing and all the officers of the singing found in the temple. Look back at 1 Samuel chapter 16. Let me give you just a little background of David here. because David is the primary author, and he's also the one who arranges the songs in the temple. Look in 1 Samuel chapter 16. 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 16. It says, "Let our Lord now command thy servants, which are before thee, to seek out a man who is a cunning player on a harp. And it shall come to pass, when the evil spirit from God is upon thee, that he shall play with his hand, and thou shalt be well." Look down in verse 18. "Then answered one of the servants and said, Behold, I have seen a son of Jesse the Bethlehemite, that is cunning in playing, mighty valiant man, and a man of war, and prudent in manners, and a comely person. And the Lord is with him." Now Saul was a man who occasionally would get troubled, and like all of us, and he was troubled occasionally. And so what they said, what we need to do is we need to find somebody that can play some music for you. By the way, that gives you a good idea of the right kind of music. The right kind of music will not cause you to be jumping up and down and running around. The right kind of music will cause you to be settled down, will soothe you. And that's the right, by the way, that's a good idea to find out the right kind of music. Children are a good test of music. You get some four-year-old and turn on the music, and they'll tell you whether it's jumping around music or it's soothing music. Basically, a child, man, that's a good thermometer for the right type of music. You turn on a little child, he doesn't know the difference between what's good music and what's bad music. He's never studied Beethoven and Bach, Bach in the Hills of Kentucky or all the other Bachs, and he doesn't know all that good kind of, he doesn't understand the principles behind music, he doesn't know the right kind of music and where the melody is supposed to be and what part the harmony is supposed to be and if there's supposed to be a B, he doesn't know those things. But you turn on some music and around a four-year-old and he'll tell you whether it's the right kind of music or not. He'll either start jumping around or dancing to the music, or he'll calm down. Music, the right kind of music, speaks to our heart, not to our body. And that's basically what they're saying here. They're saying, I know people with, man, you turn the music on, man, it just can't sit still. That's probably not the right kind of music, because music, the whole purpose for the music was to bring the praise unto the Lord. Who's the author of music? God is. He's the author of it. He's one that wrote the Psalms. He's the author of the right kind of music. So the wrong kind of music, obviously, God did not make the wrong kind of music. The author of the wrong kind of music, obviously, is the devil. And the devil, matter of fact, the devil, what he wants to do is get his kind of music into the churches today also. I'll get to more of that in just a minute. But we see that basically the Psalms were songs. David, when he played the harp, he played the right kind of music. And they said, we need to find somebody that can play some music. And they brought in somebody that would soothe Saul, not get him up jumping up and down and running around and going nuts and everything else that the music does today. And he had the right kind of music, the Psalms. Look also in 2 Samuel chapter 6. 2 Samuel chapter 6. In 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 5, notice, it says, "And David and all the house of Israel played before the Lord on all manner of instruments made of fir wood, even on harps and psalteries and on timbrels and on cornets and on cymbals." And so David also, we see again, was associated with music. Look in 2 Chronicles chapter 7. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 6. "And the priests waited on their offices, the Levites also with instruments of music of the Lord, which David the king had made to praise the Lord, because his mercy endureth forever. When David praised by their ministry, and the priests sounded trumpets before them, and all Israel stood." So notice, basically, you see in these verses, we see, first of all, the key words in the book of Psalms are sing and praise. That's basically the key words found. The Psalms were songs. David was the primary author of the book of Psalms, and David was associated with music. David, as a matter of fact, could play the harp. He could play cunningly, the Bible said. He was a good player on the harp. But he was not just a harp player. He was also a valiant man, the Bible says, and prudent in manners. And he was a man of war. That shows some things about David. David could listen to good music, and he also could go out and get in a good fight. And he was a man's kind of man. And you say, well, you listen to that kind of music, that's sissy. No, the is just right. It's the right kind of music. And everybody has to learn how to be appropriate and to be proper in what they do. David knew what was appropriate. He could be just as comfortable listening to an opera as he could out in the battlefield slaying the Philistines. And that's what makes us proper, well-balanced. And every Christian ought to be well-balanced. And you say, well, I just can't listen to opera. It's not my favorite kind of music either. But you ought to learn to listen to it because it's proper. It's not wrong music. Learn to listen to classical music. Learn to listen to Bach, Beethoven. Learn to listen to those things. And I don't say you have to listen to it all the time, just most of the time. Amen? And you ought to learn to listen to that kind. Learn how to appreciate the right kinds of music. Today we don't even know what the right kind of music is today. We got some hippie out there writing a song, and people listen to it, and he doesn't know anymore what the melody is from the harmony in the song to begin with. He just wrote some words and put something down that he thought sounded good, and then everybody listens, buys his records and listens to it. He's never studied music and doesn't know the first thing about music, the right kind of music, and yet people are listening to it all. And that's why, by the way, that's one of the problems that people have today, because we don't realize how influential music is on our minds. Music is very influential. We don't think it is, but it actually is. Music, a lot of times will cause us to do things. You just listen to music. If it starts to get you moving and stuff, it can make your body move. It can do a lot of things to you. And so you have to be careful about the music. It's very influential. It's very important, the kind of music that a person listens to. So that's one of the things we see then in the book of Psalms. David is the author, key author of it. David was associated with music. Matter of fact, look in Psalms chapter 40 and verse 3. Let me show you the key verse of Psalms. Psalms chapter 40 and verse 3. Psalms chapter 40, verse 3, the key verse of Psalms, and it says, "And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord." We get the idea, reading through the Psalms. Now remember this, Psalms is the songbook of Israel. Reading through the Psalms, we see many of the songs that the Israelites sang. In the book of Psalms, then, we see songs that they sang to the Lord and for a purpose. With the singing, we see another key word that goes along with that. Almost every time we see they sang a song, they sang the song for praise unto the Lord. Notice that. They sang a song, and when they sang a song with praise unto the Lord. And that basically gives us the purpose for singing. Matter of fact, the theme of the book is singing to God. It's a very simple theme. I want you to get that, though. Singing to God. That is basically the whole purpose behind songs. Songs were written, the Old Testament, they were written for one reason, and that was to praise the Lord. That was their purpose for them. They were to bring glory to the Lord. They were to praise the Lord. So in the book of Psalms, we see it is singing to God. Now, you ought to get this down because this will help you greatly in your life and in your music. The whole purpose behind music, then, is to bring glory to God. That's the whole purpose for it. The whole theme behind music and behind songs is to praise the Lord. That's what it's for. Now, here, you think about it. What is most music today for? Does music today that is written today, does it praise the Lord or does it praise man? Does most music today, is it written for God or is it written for us? Most music today is written for man, to get man feeling good, to get man a jump in his step, to get man feeling good about himself, or to get man to move in another direction. What's the basic theme of rock music? Rebellion. want people to rebel against what they've done in the past. Let's get people, you don't have to live like they lived in the past. Let's change everything. The problem with that, they've thrown out all the good things with the bad. And everything, you don't have to change everything. There are some things that were good. The truth of the matter is, when we said let's change the bad things, they said let's change everything, and they've thrown out the good with the bad. And that's what's wrong. That's what's it, the whole basic theme behind rock music is sex behind it, drugs, rebellion. That's all it talks about. And all it is for man, to glorify man, to make man feel good, to do this for man. And that's basically what music is done for today. The truth of the matter is, that was not God's purpose for music. God's purpose for music, God's purpose for singing, was to bring glory to Him and to praise His name. That's what it's all about. And if we are singing songs that are not bringing glory to God, then we're singing the wrong kind of songs. If we're singing songs just that makes our body feel good, now here's what we've done in churches today also. We've brought music into our churches that makes us feel good. Well, since when are we supposed to just come to church to feel good? What is wrong with coming to church to glorify God with our lives and to hear the Word of God and to learn how to live right and to worship our God? What's wrong with just doing that? Since when do we come to church just to feel good? And that's basically what we've done in our churches today, is we've built churches all across the country that says you feel good about yourself. We turn on radio preachers and turn on television preachers that says something good is going to happen to you today. Well, what if something good doesn't happen to you today? Does that mean God's not on the throne? Does that mean you're not saved anymore? What if something good doesn't happen to you? And that's basically what our whole philosophy is today. Everything's going to be all right. Everything's going good. The truth of the matter is, what we need to do is just get back to trusting God again and not trusting whether we feel good or not. If we serve, and that's what happens to most folks, they come to church when they feel like coming to church and not when God says to come to church. They read their Bible when they feel like reading their Bible. And by the way, I don't need some song to get me stirred up about serving God. Some of you folks, the only time you get stirred up for serving God is when you hear some hillbilly get on the radio and sing some stirring song for you, and you say, I'm ready to serve God. As soon as the song's off, you're not ready to serve God anymore. What you got to do is walk around with the radio blaring in your ear all the time to stay happy. The truth of the matter is, what you ought to do is just get your nose in the Word of God and say, glory to God, hallelujah, God loves me and I can serve Him. We don't need songs that just move our bodies. By the way, you sing the right kind of songs and you'll feel good. I was sitting just this last Tuesday morning, I think it was. I was sitting in a preacher's conference and sat down there, and they got up and they sang Jesus Saves. And I sat there thinking about how Jesus saved me. God in heaven loved me. Just some little child from a little town in Michigan. And God reached down in that little redwood church there in Marlette, Michigan. God saved a little 9-year-old boy that didn't deserve any more to go to heaven than any man that's ever walked the face of this earth. But God loved me. And God saved me. And I sat there and I just bawled. I just cried and cried as I was thinking how God saved me. Now, I didn't get a good feeling about what God has done for me. I didn't need to listen to something that had drums beating in it and jumping up and down and dancing around and slurring my words and dipping in the music. Didn't need that. Just needed to realize that these songs can bring glory to God and praise to His name. And that's what we need today in our churches. If we need the kind of music that speaks to the soul and not to the body. You start with the soul. We want to get our bodies worked up and ready to go and say, man, I'm going to serve God now. Oh, hallelujah, glory to God, that's a good song. And as soon as the song's over, we haven't made a single decision for God. Haven't done a single thing different. We go on and live our lives the same way. We need to get jacked up every couple days. We need to get jacked up with some new Sandy Patty song or something. Something new off the, just to hit the charts. Hey, we need something good to get us going again. No, what you need is you just need to love Jesus and just keep trusting Him and just get some of the old kind of music that was written right with the right kind of harmony in it and the right kind of melody in it and the right kind of rules for music. And what we've done with music today, we've just thrown out the rules. You can't if we lived our law, if we lived in this land today and just threw out all the laws, what would our land be like? truth of the matter is the same thing has happened to music. You throw out all the rules to music, and what do you got? You got what we got today. That's what you got. There has to be rules. Man cannot do everything as seems right in his own eyes. All you have is anarchy. And that's what we have in our music today, is just plain old anarchy. We've just taken the rules. And the problem is, most folks don't know the rules for music. We haven't been educated for music. So what you ought to do is find somebody who had been educated for music and listen to their kind of music. Is what you need to do. Find out the rules for music, the right kind of music, what kind of music speaks to our spirit and speaks to our soul, not the kind of music that speaks to our body only. So the theme of the book is singing to God. We ought to have songs that sing to God and not that glorify man. We ought to have songs that glorify God and not that just moves man for this moment. Songs that glorify God and not glorify man. Songs that bring praise to the Lord and not praise to man, what man has done. We need to have songs that will bring glory to God. There are five major divisions in the book. I'll not give you I didn't put that down in our outline today as those five major divisions, but the book is actually divided up into five different sections. The first section is Psalms chapter 1 through verse chapter 41. And in chapter 41 and verse 3, it says, the Lord will strengthen him upon the bed of languishing. Thou wilt make all thy bed in his sickness. Verse 13 says, blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting. Amen and amen. So that closes out the first book in the book of Psalms, the first section, as it gives that amen, or finishes up that first section. The second section goes from chapters 42 through 72 and finishes up the same way with a little doxology there. And then the third section is chapter 73 through 89. And then the fourth section, chapter 90 through 106, and the fifth section, chapter 107 through 150. Most of your Bibles have those sections divided off in your Bible in those Psalms. So there are five major divisions found in the book. But I'm not going to look at those necessarily, those five major divisions today. I want to look at some major subjects that are found in the book of Psalms. For instance, one of those subjects is the worshiping of God. The worshiping of God. Look back at Psalms chapter 8, the Psalms we began with today. Let me just show you just a couple things in there concerning our worshiping of God. Psalms chapter 8, verse 1, it says, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Who has set thy glory above the heavens? And then notice in verse 2, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength. Notice in verse 4, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Heard one preacher say the second most important question in all the world. The first most important question is, who do you men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Or who do you think Christ is? The second most important question is, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And that's what we see in Psalms. Here's what David is saying in Psalms chapter 8. He's saying, God is the God who looks down at the little baby. It says, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength. God in heaven is concerned about the smallest child and the smallest baby and even the littlest, faintest cry that comes from a child. Truth of the matter is, I've never had a child that had a faint cry. All mine had pretty good lungs. But even the whimpering of a child, God knows. But in verse 1 he said, and excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Here's basically what he's saying. David is saying, God, you set your glory upon the earth, but your earth could not contain your glory. So God, you took your glory up into the heavens. He said, even all the heavens, as vast as the heavens are, and man doesn't even know how vast the heavens are today. We can see only so far. We don't even know what's beyond the farthest star that man knows about. We don't even know what's beyond that. And David says, God, you've taken your glory and put it into the heavens. You've put your glory upon the earth, but the earth couldn't hold it. And then you put your glory into the heavens, the vastness of the heavens, which man in his finite mind cannot even know the vastness of the heavens. And David says, the heavens couldn't hold your glory. So where's your glory go? Thou hast set thy glory above the heavens. David said, the God in heaven who had to put your glory even above the heavens, because the earth couldn't hold your glory and the heavens couldn't hold your glory, you set your glory above the heavens. Even beyond what the heavens can hold, you've got your glory. And so we see this God whose glory is greater than what the earth can hold, whose glory goes far beyond what the heavens, the vastness of the heavens can hold, whose glory goes above the heavens. This God knows the need of every little child. Isn't that amazing? The God who created the heavens and the earth, thou hast made thy dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas. You know man. And you, even though you have glory that goes far, surpasses the heavens, you're still mindful of man. And even the weeping of a little child, the needs of a little baby, you know our needs. Many times we go through this life thinking we're on our own. Got to fend for ourselves. And all we need to do is just trust the God of the heavens, whose glory goes far beyond the heavens, and realize that he knows our basic need. He knows the need of every person in this room today. God wants to be our Heavenly Father. God wants to be a father to us. God wants to take care of us. God wants to meet our needs. But so many of us are just like rebellious children. We've got our own mind set up. We've decided what we want to do. We're not going to accept the blessings that God has for us. God knows our needs. God wants to bless us. Many times we go out on our own. So Psalms, many of the Psalms, as you read through the Psalms, you'll see Psalms that are worship to God. Look in Psalms chapter 86. There's another group of Psalms. Those are the Psalms of beseeching of God's help. Psalms chapter 86. Notice in verse 17. Show me a token for good, that they which hate me shall see it and be ashamed, because thou, Lord, hast helped me, or helped me, and comforted me. We see also in these Psalms, many of them, are Psalms beseeching God's help. These Psalms are not just doctrine. These Psalms actually, well, I've heard one man say that the rest of the Bible is God from God to man. And we see many of the Psalms are from man to God. Man begging God for his help, and many guidelines for us and how we ought to come to God for his help. Guidelines on how we can worship our God. So the Psalms are found in worshiping Psalms. Some of the Psalms are just Psalms begging God for help. There are some of these Psalms that we ought to just read, and when you have a need, just read one of those Psalms and just pray that Psalm to God. Psalms and songs of prayer and praise to God for his help. God is a God that wants to help. We can call upon him for our help. In Psalms chapter 51, we have Psalms that are worship Psalms. We have Psalms that are prayers or beseeching God for help. In Psalms chapter 51, we see one of the great Psalms of confession of sin. Psalms chapter 51, verse 1, it says, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Most you know the story how David had sinned. David, the great king of Israel, fell into sin. For 1 year he went without coming to God and forsaking that sin and repenting of that sin. One day the prophet of God came. He heard the message of the prophet of God. God convicted his heart, and David that day repented of his sin. David turned back to God. By the way, I believe that's probably one of the great reasons. That's probably one of the great differences between David and Solomon. The difference was David came to God. David repented of his sin. There are many that sin, but they say, well, it's no big deal. Everybody does it. Many that sin and don't come to God like David did in true repentance for his sin. Many folks we see fall into sin in the Bible never were used of God. We see one man that fell into sin that God still says, I can use you. That's a man that came to God in repentance for his sin. And I think that's the biggest reason that we see God still using David when many of the men in the Bible sinned and were never used again because of repentance. So we see his confession of sin. found in Psalms chapter 51. In verses 1 through 4, we see he seeks forgiveness. In verses 5 through 12, we see how he pleads to God for his restoration. Create in me a clean heart, O Lord, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Then in verses 13 through 17, he comes to God and says, God, I promise you, I'll do better. Forgive me. Please restore me back. And I promise in the future I'll do better. And then in verses 18 and 19, it says, do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offerings. Then shall they offer bullocks upon the altar. Then he says, don't punish Israel because of my sin. Don't let others go through problems because of my sin. Please continue to bless Israel, even though I have sinned. And that's basically the prayer of David when he sinned. And that's a good example for us in our prayer when we have sinned. Ask for forgiveness. Plead for restoration. Tell God we've forsaken that sin. And then tell God we're just going to do better. And please don't cause others to suffer because of our sin. Then we see communion, psalms of communion with God. Let me show you one other, Psalms chapter 121. Now let's look instead at Psalms 23. Psalms 23. Then the fifth one, God's care for his own. Probably not a psalm that's any well known, more well known than the Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Many think that David wrote that when he was a shepherd. I personally believe he probably wrote that when he was in Mahanaim. Greatest trouble of his life. He was facing death. He came to God and wrote this psalm saying, I'm going to face death, but even though I face death, I'm just going to keep trusting you. I know that you have care over me, that you'll take care of me. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So the book of Psalms, there's no way in the world we could do justice to the book of Psalms in just an hour's time. Psalms is one of the great books of the Bible. As a matter of fact, I encourage every person to go to the Psalms as a refuge, to read the Psalms, Psalms of comfort, Psalms of worship, Psalms of supplication, Psalms of beseeching God, Psalms of confession, Psalms of God's care for us. Use the Psalms, read the Psalms. It'll help you to have compassion. Make your heart tender. It'll help you to keep serving God, help you keep going. So we read through the Psalms as our prayers and our songs to God. What should we learn through the Psalms? The Psalms were songs that were sung to bring praise to the Lord. The proper kind of songs ought to be songs that we can sing praising the Lord. It ought to be songs that are written properly, songs that touch the soul, songs that praise the Lord. And that's the kind of songs that we ought to sing, the kind of songs that bring glory to God. Let's sing the songs that God has authored in glory to him. Just changing the words to a song and saying praise the Lord in it doesn't mean you're bringing praise to the Lord. Just changing the words of a song and saying, we're singing this to praise the Lord. Well, that's fine, but maybe God says that's not the kind of music that praises me. What we need to do is praise the Lord with the music he has written in, his kind of songs, his kind of music, and not just what we think we're praising the Lord in our own way. It's fine to praise the Lord. It's fine to do things. We better get back to the place where we do it God's way and not man's way. And let's pray. Lord, bless us now. Thank you for the Psalms. Thank you for the comfort of them, the exhortation of them, the teaching of them, the praising of them. And help us to be a people that praise the Lord with our lives, with our music, and with all that we do. We pray in Jesus' name.